news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
With curfews in effect for much of the nation, protesters still came out Tuesday night and into Wednesday morning, but the streets were calmer than they've been in the days since the killing of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police set off protests against police brutality and institutionalized racism. Despite a newly enacted 8 p.m. curfew in New York City, defiant demonstrators still marched through the streets, though the destruction was quelled. But things turned ugly in Portland, Oregon, after an hours-long peaceful protest when police shot off tear gas and flashbang grenades. And thousands descended on D.C. on Tuesday, a larger number than were out Monday, many of them saying they were stirred by the president's outrageous rhetoric and efforts to stifle peaceful protests. Meanwhile, not one single governor accepted Trump's offer of military assistance to crush protests. After his tough talk to governors on a phone call and to the nation from the Rose Garden on Monday, Donald Trump appears to be privately backing off his threat to deploy troops to the states in order to quell protests over police brutality. White House officials say this week's response to demonstrations across the country indicates that local governments should be able to restore order themselves. Earlier, Trump pressed governors to put down the violence and demanded that New York call up the National Guard to stop the, quote, lowlifes and losers. But all was not quiet Tuesday night. New York City police officers surrounded, shoved, and yelled expletives at two Associated Press journalists covering the protest Tuesday and the latest aggression against members of the media during this week of unrest around the country. And a retired St. Louis police captain was killed by people who broke into a pawn shop after protests there turned violent. David Dorn, 77, was found dead on the sidewalk at about 2:30 a.m. Tuesday. No arrests have been made. The shooting and theft came on a violent night in St. Louis where four police officers were shot, others pelted with rocks and fireworks, and 55 businesses were burglarized or damaged. As of Wednesday morning, more than 9,300 people have been arrested nationally since the protests began. But the movement has taken off globally as well. French riot police used tear gas to contain protesters in Paris on Tuesday, as unrest over George Floyd's death in Minneapolis police custody spread overseas. Many of the French protesters took a knee and raised their fists in a peaceful multiracial call for equal justice. A smaller number clashed with police and set fires. Similar crowds demonstrated in The Hague in the Netherlands and in Tel Aviv, Israel. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on Tuesday harshly criticized Trump's handling of the protests. The former vice president specifically criticized the administration for having federal security forces drive away peaceful protesters so Trump could walk to a church to pose for photos while holding a Bible.
The president held up the Bible at St. John's Church yesterday. I just wish he opened it once in a while instead of brandishing it. If he opened it, he could have learned something.
Even former President George W. Bush stepped up to make a rare public statement, saying it was time to, quote, end systemic racism. You think? Well, Tuesday was primary day in seven states and Washington, D.C. One of those states is Iowa, where nine-term racist Congressman Steve King was defeated in a primary by State Senator Randy Feenstra. He'll go up against progressive Democrat J.D. Scholten, who lost by just a hair to King in 2018. In Ferguson, Missouri, where the death of black teen Michael Brown set off weeks of nationwide outrage in 2014, voters elected their first black mayor. Ella Jones has worked as a chemist and church pastor. She's also the first woman to hold that office. She served on the Ferguson City Council since 2015 when she was elected as its first African-American member. From the I Told You So department, a Twitter account that tweeted a call to violence and claimed to be representing the position of Antifa was in fact created by a known white supremacist group. This according to Twitter on Monday, who removed the account. Before it emerged that the account was run by white supremacists, Donald Trump Jr. posted it to his 2.8 million Instagram followers as an example of how dangerous Antifa is. Ugh. But in the days since Donald Trump blamed Antifa activists for an eruption of violence, social media has lit up with false rumors that the left-leaning group is transporting people to wreak havoc on cities. Twitter even busted one of the instigators behind the fake social media chatter after determining that a tweet promising Antifa planned to move into residential areas and white neighborhoods was sent by the white supremacy group Identify Europa. So remember, verify everything you see online. Trump has said Antifa should be classified as a terrorist organization. Well, white supremacists who prefer him are trying to help out. A similar reminder came courtesy of the New York Times editorial board, who said many people are trying to exercise their most basic rights as citizens, but encountering only more contempt for those rights from the people who are supposed to protect them. Wednesday's editorial says Donald Trump's photo op, quote, managed to take aim at the freedom of assembly, speech, and religion all at the same time. Even Mike Mullen, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, wrote in The Atlantic, quote, I cannot remain silent. Our fellow citizens are not the enemy and must never become so. So in response to Donald Trump's demands that North Carolina allow the Republican National Convention to proceed with 50,000 people standing shoulder to shoulder, North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper announced Tuesday that he could not guarantee that the Republicans could hold their convention there due to ongoing concerns about the threat from COVID-19. Trump then tweeted that he'll be moving the RNC to a new state. Please stay out of Florida. Oh, and it is June. Hurricane season officially started on Monday. And now the third named storm of the season has formed in the southwestern Gulf of Mexico. Tropical storm Cristobal dumped heavy rains on parts of Mexico and Central America, and its formation set a record for the earliest occurrence of a third named storm in a season. Lucky us. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.